Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read verses 13 through 18 together. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Adriana. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. We'll read this passage responsively, then I'll pray, then you can be seated, and then I'm going to start preaching. We should be done right at noon or even maybe. Don't count on it. We're going to be out by 12:15. All right, so, all right. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. And let's read responsively. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And let's pray. Father, we need you today. Lord, we live in such a sissified, soft generation, a faithless generation, a generation that's afraid of truth and runs to error and runs to whatever they want versus listening to truth and authority. I pray that you'd help us today as we preach the Word of God. Lord, challenge us. Move us. Lord, all the stirring of the Holy Spirit in the world does no good if we leave here and do nothing with it. Help us to change what we do, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, hang on, folks. I'm already hot, and it's going to get hotter. There is not much preaching on the topic of hell in our society these days. It seems as though preachers are afraid of the truth. It used to be, I get this often from older people, "Are you one of those hellfire damnation preachers?" And I proudly say, yes. No problem with it. Can I tell you something? Nobody likes preaching on hell. This is not a topic I enjoy. I said something to Brother Barnes yesterday. I said, "I'm preaching a sermon about a topic I'm excited about preaching tomorrow, but I don't like preaching on this topic. I don't. But may I say this, though no one likes it, do you know that Jesus spoke of hell twice as much as he talked about heaven? Yep. For every one time he talked about heaven, he talked twice about hell. So if the Son of God himself, God the Son, talked about it, shouldn't we? By the way, I don't care what society says. I'm not trying to be politically correct. I'd rather be biblically correct. What does God say about it? We live in a time that people get their feelings hurt or they get offended that anything that is the slightest bit difficult in life. Well, can I tell you something? Toughen up.
Amen.
Just toughen up. Well, you're one of those bullies. I get so tired of that term. Brother Mike, when we were growing up, there weren't many bullies. Because everybody ganged up on the bully, beat the tar out of him, and he didn't bully anymore. It takes care of everything just right. You say, "Well, you shouldn't use violence." Well, hit him with your purse, sweetie. We use something else, amen? Seems like Christianity of today is so soft and squishy that hell is a topic that's off limits in most churches. You won't believe this, but it is a true statement. I was preaching in a church one day, or going to go preach at a church, and the preacher said, "I'll let you preach on most anything, just don't preach hellfire damnation in my church." And I said, "Do me a favor, cancel my reservation, I'm not coming." I said, "Because without that, there is no preaching. There's no purpose to preaching." I said, I'll kindly refuse to come. I said, we'll stay friends, and I'll be your friend, but I'm not coming with that limitation. And I did not go, just so you know. Can I tell you something? It's interesting to me that most of the times that Jesus talked about hell, it was to the saved, not to the lost. Go through your Bible and find out how many times he was talking to the disciples or saved people when he mentions hell. Now, he did use it in reference to preaching to lost people, but it wasn't necessarily an evangelistic tool. He was talking to save people. Now, everybody look at me for a second. We're Baptists in here, amen?
Amen.
All right. If you've been saved so long that you forgot that you were saved from hell, it's time to get reminded of it.
Yes,
you ought to be, there's no reason any Christian ought to be down in the mouth, sucking the carpet with their lower lip because, oh, I know, God's just not blessing me. Well, if your name's written in heaven and you're not going to die and fry in hell, you have something to be thankful for.
Amen.
I have been saved for about 47 years, and I'm 51 years old. I'm glad I haven't gotten over getting saved.
Amen.
I'm glad that I'm still excited that, Brother Bob, I'm not going to go to hell. I'll never see it. I'll never enter it. I will never feel it. I don't have anything to do with it except I get to cheer when Jesus cast the devil in there.
Amen.
And I want a front row seat, and I'm going to kick him in the hiney on the way out. Can I tell you something? You ought to get excited about it, not depressed over it.
Amen.
Hell isn't a curse word. It is a Bible word.
Amen.
Today, I want to challenge you as Jesus did to the disciples here in Matthew chapter 16. Don't get me wrong. If you're not saved, you need to get saved so you don't go to a place called hell.
Amen.
There is a place called heaven, and it is just as real as a place called hell. And we can settle that today. But may I say this, we as Christians need to understand what our role as Christians are in reference to the topic of hell. I don't enjoy it. I'll be honest with you, it bothers me. Any of you that have been nurses, and a couple of you in here know what I'm talking about. If you've ever watched somebody die and go to hell, it's not pleasant. It's one of those things that just, it stays with you the rest of your life. Remember, the first person I watched die and leave this world, going into eternity, and he began to scream at the top of his lungs, oh my God, I'm on fire. Oh my God, I'm burning. Oh my God, I'm on fire. And he was gone. I'd tried time and time and time again to win him to the Lord, but it didn't work. Man, it raises a hair on my neck to this day, and that was nearly 30 years ago. Can I tell you something? I've watched saved people die. I watch them say, Preacher, can you see them? Can you see it? No, but I believe you can. Loretta, do you owe me a pizza? Oh, it's Jimbo? All right. Pepperoni sausage, mushrooms, and double cheese, all right? I am teasing, by the way. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Jesus is talking to the disciples here, and it is actually the beginning of the first church in history. Matthew chapter 16 is the starting of the first church in the world. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. By Matthew chapter 18, he's talking about the church. So, between Matthew 16 verse 18 and Matthew chapter 18, the church has begun. This is the beginning of the church. By the way, we're not a temple. We have nothing to do with the temple. The temple was Old Testament that pointed to Jesus, and he came and said, I came to fulfill all that. And that's why the scribes, the Pharisees, and the priests got mad at him when he said, I'll tear this temple down and raise it again in 3 days. Because the Bible says, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He said, we'll tear down this temple. We've got the church, and we don't need the temple. I have fulfilled it all. That's why they went from Sabbath worship to the Lord's Day on Sunday. Jesus met with the church on Sunday. The Jews and the Seventh-day Adventists are wrong.
Right.
By the way, Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Now, it's a holy day. It's God's day. It's the Lord's day. And I think there are things that we should not do necessarily out of respect for God.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's sinful if you do.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
So, Matthew 16, we have the beginning of the first church. By the way, Peter was not its pope.
That's right.
Catholics didn't come along for another 300 years. And Peter didn't start the church. Jesus did.
Amen.
Notice Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. And I, that's Jesus, say also unto thee that thou art Peter. The word Peter is the word Petros. Means pebble. Means little stone. You know, like one of those that you get inside your shoe. And you don't want to step on it because it hurts real bad. Jesus said, thou art Peter, Petros, a little tiny pebble. And he said, but upon this rock... Jesus is our cornerstone.
Right.
He is the rock in Daniel that was cut out without hands. And he said, upon this rock, I will build, what's the next word? My church. In other words, Jesus was the first pastor of the first church in history.
Amen.
By the way, say, preacher, how far back do the Baptists go? All the way back to Jesus? Who baptized Jesus? John the
Baptist.
Baptist wasn't his last name.
That's right. Amen.
What he did.
His last name wasn't Baptist. And the Catholics didn't come along till 330 at the Council of Nicaea under Constantine. And that was so that Constantine could have more power in the Roman Empire because he was only political leader and he understood how much power the religious leaders had. So he joined the two. That's why the Vatican is its own country because it has political power as well as religious power. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
All right. That's real history right there. Now, Jesus says... that Peter was not the first pope. Jesus was the first pastor. But in the previous part that we read, Jesus is asking the disciples some questions. He said, who do people say that I am? Well, some say thou art John the Baptist. John the Baptist. That was a wild, crazy preacher, amen? The Bible says he ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached in camel skin. Glory to God. He didn't wear a tie when he preached, amen? Whoever thought of this needs hung by it. Good night. Anyway, we won't go down that path. And said, some say thou art John the Baptist. By the way, that proves Jesus didn't wiggle when he walked. John didn't wiggle when he walked. Some say that thou art Jeremiah or Elijah. We know what Elijah did. Called down fire from heaven, killed 850 false prophets in one day. He wasn't no wimp. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, man of compassion, yet man of toughness. He said, super. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And Jesus says, Shazam, Peter. Good job. He said, man didn't tell you that. That was revealed to you by God himself. Now, Jesus then makes a statement to Peter that to me is just amazing. And I want you to see something. I had a spell this week. It started in my feet. And I just had to get up and have a spell for a bit. And I want to share it with you. Jesus says, upon this rock... I will build my church. Now watch this. And the what? Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Against what? Against the church. Now watch this. Not only did Jesus speak of hell, he was telling us how we can, with the church, attack hell. Not only that,
he told us how to bust the gates down. And I'm going to show you something about it
that will surprise you. God didn't want any human being going to hell. According to the book of Matthew, chapter 25, the Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. When in Isaiah 14, when Lucifer sinned in heaven, tried to overthrow God in heaven, God cast him down to the inner part of the earth where hell is. God created Lucifer, or hell, for Lucifer and the angels that followed him. Now, we say one third of the angels followed him. We don't know how many angels followed him. It said for the devil and his angels. It doesn't say how many. But may I say this, it was created for the devil and the angels before man was created. Now watch this. When Satan entered the garden through the serpent and said, in the day thou eatest, you could be like gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. He said, you could be your own God. You don't need God telling you what to do. And when man sinned, he committed the exact same sin that Lucifer committed in heaven against God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. And when man sinned, he decided to be his own God, committed the same sin as Lucifer, and may I say, God's justice required same punishment on sin. If you die and go to hell, God didn't want you to, but you didn't accept what God did for you to get you out of there. Now watch this. Did you ever notice that Jesus didn't come and shed his blood at Calvary for Satan and the angels that followed him? But he did come and die for you and me. God loved man so much that he gave his own life for you and I so we didn't have to go to hell. You will be an intruder in hell if you die and go to hell. You owe it to God to get saved. Now, hell is a super torture chamber made for the devil and his angels. Hang on. There we go. Listen to this very carefully here. God's justice required the same punishment on sin. God loved man so much that he made a way available for us not to have to die and go to hell. Now, Brother Mike, the truth I can't wait to get to is here. Here's the cherry. I'm going to give you the cherry, and then we'll put the sundae underneath it. Amen. Kind of like cracking open those Marcino cherries and sticking a spoon in there and just start shoveling them in. Amen. Now, listen to me very carefully. Hell is a place of total separation from God. The worst part of hell is not the fire, it's the separation from God's presence. As bad as our earth is, we still have God's presence here because every saved person has the Holy Spirit inside them, which is the presence of God. Imagine how bad this world's going to be the moment the rapture takes place. Hell is a place of separation from God and eternal punishment. The Bible says that Jesus suffered our hell for us at Calvary. Brother Wiley, can I tell you, for 3 hours, Jesus suffered hell for all mankind. Because the Bible says that while he was on the cross, God turned his back on the Son. And the earth went dark for 3 hours. And when Jesus could not take it any longer, listen to this, I'm about to come unscrewed. In Hebrew, he said, or in Greek, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he say my God twice? God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, why have you forsaken me? He was the third part of the Godhead. He couldn't forsake himself. And for 3 hours, he hung separated from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and push that door shut for me, please, if you will, because they can't handle this for sure. He suffered hell for us at Calvary. He paid our hell at Calvary. Now watch this. He also died as the Lamb of God as he shed his blood. And he spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You don't take time to turn there. But in Luke 16, talks about Abraham's bosom. God did not, in the Old Testament, have people go directly to the place we call heaven. There was a place called Abraham's bosom. It was in the heart of the earth, and it was crossed a great gulf from hell. And the saints would be there gathering till Jesus came to set them free. That's where he led captivity captive and took them back to heaven at resurrection. That's why when he died, the tombs were opened and the Old Testament saints sat up in their graves. That would have been creepy. When he resurrected, he came back, and people that had been dead for centuries walked into the city with him. Say why? Because he brought them up out of Abraham's bosom, and he took them to heaven with him when he went back to heaven. Now watch this. I'm about to come have a fun time here. When he resurrected, something else took place. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse number 18. Brother Jimbo, might need you to come hold me down for a second. As the old preacher, the old circuit riding preacher used to say, hold my mule while I shout. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Watch this. Amen. And have the keys of what?
Hell.
And of death. Uh-oh. What do keys go to? Locks and doors. When Jesus left the heart of the earth, he grabbed the keys of hell and death, and he unlocked the gates of hell on his way up. Brother Mike, we spend way too much time in churches worrying about busting down the gate, and the gate's already been unlocked. He already unlocked it. We don't have to worry about attacking the gates. It says they won't prevail. Why won't they prevail? They're unlocked.
Amen.
And the devil doesn't have the key to lock them. The keys are not in Satan's control anymore. Jesus grabbed the keys to death and hell as he resurrected, and now the gates of hell are unlocked.
Amen.
Watch this. Our job is not to bust down the gates. It's to pull people out of the fire.
Amen.
Jude 22 and 23, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Our job is to keep people from dying and going to hell. We're to stop them from going through the gate of hell. We need to quit worrying about breaking down the gate, what the gate looks like, where the gate's at. It's already unlocked. Let's just get the gospel out, tell people how to miss hell.
Amen.
If a house was on fire and you could stop and help somebody out of that fire, you would do everything within your power to keep them from burning up in that fire, correct? We wouldn't stop and say, well, I have a 6-page survey. Could I ask you 37 questions? And at the end, I'll take this back. And if you answer the right questions the right way, somebody else from our church will come and try to get you out of this fire. That's what churches are doing today. They're not pulling people out of the fire. They're taking a survey. Everybody doing okay? About to have roasted church today, amen? You wouldn't have somebody say, well, prove to me how sorry you are for your sin before I rescue you. Everybody doing okay? Well, are you going to turn from all of your sin before you do this? No, you would rescue them. You wouldn't say, well, how sincere are you? How sincerely do you want to get out? And if you're not sincere enough, you won't make it. Everybody doing okay? We wouldn't get out and say, well, I'll rescue you, but if you don't live a certain way, then we're going to throw you back into a fire. Or my favorite.
You go stand next to the house that's on fire and start walking and say, well, if they really want it, they'll do what I'm doing. Lifestyle evangelism. Wrong answer.
You say, well, I'll sprinkle some water up there. And maybe they'll get saved. Or you'll pour the water. And they'll have enough water to make it out of the fire. We'll even baptize them in the bathtub and they'll be wet and they can get out of the fire. Wrong answer. It's not by the washing of the water, but by the washing of the Word of God.
Amen.
You can get baptized in every creek till you know every tadpole by name and die and go to hell.
That's right.
Why is it then that we do more to keep people from out of a burning fire of a house than we do to keep them out of a burning fire of hell for eternity? Jesus has already unlocked the gate. We don't have to worry about a locked entry.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. Listen to me very carefully. Say, well, how do we do this? We obey God with salvation. And we take the gospel to every creature. I can't make anybody get saved. Don't want to. My job is not to make anybody get saved, but because I love people and I love God, I, in a certain way, want what God wants. That is, God is not willing that any man should perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
We ought to be more fervent about keeping people out of hell than we would be rescuing somebody from a burning building.
Just a little over, is it 2 years or 3 years now for Brother Ray Craig? It's been a little over 2 years. 2 years ago May, Brother Ray Craig, one of our good men, truck driver, was up in Pennsylvania, hit a bear with his tractor trailer. Overturned the tractor trailer and the cab caught on fire and he burned to death. Can I tell you something? I love Brother Ray. I've known him for decades. As much as I love Brother Ray and wished we could have helped him and rescued him, can I tell you something? The last breath he took here, he woke up in glory.
Amen.
Because I know that man was saved. I know it. He may have suffered briefly down here, but he's not suffering anymore. I can't imagine somebody leaving this world, and though I've heard them as they die, screaming about the fire of hell.
Hell is far worse than any house fire. House fires eventually burn out. Hell will never be quenched. Hell will never be quenched. Let me give you a few thoughts and I'm done. Number one, there is a real hell. There is a real place called hell.
Yes, sir.
It has real fire. It has real torment. It has real pain. Luke chapter 16, the rich man died and was in hell and lifted up his eyes in torment. And he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment. He was begging for one drop of water for relief. Can I tell you something? According to Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, it is a place of fire.
Right.
By the way, Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about hell often in those three chapters. By the way, say who dies and goes to hell? Anybody that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, according to the Scripture, will die and go to hell.
I didn't say it, God did. It's not a judgment of mine. And by the way, there's only one sin that God can't forgive, and that is the rejection of salvation before you die.
That's right.
That's it. Well, what's the unpardonable sin? Not getting saved.
That's right.
That is the only thing God can't forgive you of. It is not getting saved. Well, it talks about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. When you don't get saved, you're blaspheming him by saying, I don't need you, I don't want you. I'll do it my way. By the way, people will tell you that this earth is hell. That's a lie. The best day on earth is the worst day in heaven. And the best day on earth, or the worst day on earth, is the best day in hell. You've never had a bad enough day to even qualify it as hell. Promise you. Hell was made for the devil and the angels that followed him. And by the way, it's not a holding tank to where eventually everybody gets out of and gets to heaven called purgatory. Wrong answer. Doesn't work that way. Be like you ladies being pregnant about 8 months long, say, well, don't think that we're quite ready for it. We're going to wait 6 years before I deliver this child. And you carried it around for another 6 years. Some of you couldn't wait to hatch that puppy, amen? God's not going to change things just because, well, you can get them out of purgatory faster if you pay the priest, or you pay enough to the church, or if you pray through Mary enough and do enough penance, and you do this, and you buy enough candles at $25 a piece or whatever, and you do all these things, you can get them out of purgatory faster. You can't get anybody out of hell.
That's right.
Luke 16, Lazarus said, would you send somebody to go talk to my brothers, because I don't want them to die and come to this place. And he said, would you let me go back and tell them? They would believe me if I told them. He said, there was one that rose from the grave. If they won't hear him, they'll die and go there. I didn't say that. Jesus did. There is a real place with real fire called hell. Number two, Jesus suffered our hell for us. Hell is the total absence of the presence of God. Hell is the total opposite of what heaven is. Listen to this. Heaven is light, and Jesus is the light. Hell is total darkness that you can't even see your hand in front of your face. Heaven is a secure place with streets of gold. Hell is a bottomless pit with nothing but falling for eternity. Heaven is total beauty. Hell is total vileness. Heaven is a place of peace and comfort, and hell is a place of pain and bitterness. When God turned his back on Jesus and withdrew his presence from Jesus, Jesus suffered our hell for us at Calvary. By the way, he did that because he wanted God to have man back. Yes, he loved man, but he loved what the Father loved more. We're so selfish that we want to say, well, if I were the only sinner, Jesus would have died for me because he loves me so much. See how many times you use the word me? How about God got what God wanted? See, Jesus suffered our hell for us so that we never have to face it. When I'm out knocking on doors and I'm soul winning and I'm telling somebody the gospel, I make them realize there are two deaths. Sin brings death. Not just your body, but your spirit is dead. And your spirit and your soul have to go forever somewhere. The old carcass is going to die, but what's inside's got to go forever somewhere. And according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That means this, not just is your body going to die because you're a sinner, but what's inside of you because you're a sinner deserves to go to a place called hell. I didn't say it, God did. There is a place where people are burning and falling and suffering every moment of every day since the creation of man and since the first death. Listen to this statement very carefully. They'll only have a temporary stay And it is a place called the Great White Throne Judgment. God will bring the eternal damned from hell to a place in heaven. They will stand before the Great White Throne Judgment of God, and they will receive their final sentence. The sum total of all the sin that they had accumulated over time and how it affected generation after generation after generation will then be added to their account, and the lake of fire is that much worse than hell. Just like we will go there and receive our reward, they will receive their sentence, the degree of sentence. Can I tell you something? A place for hell will be hotter for an Adolf Hitler than most. A Mussolini or a Stalin or a Hirohito. Hell will be much hotter for people like that because of the crimes that they committed against so many people that affected so many generations. Don't get mad at me for saying this, but I wonder how many preachers who stood and preached some other gospel will have an awfully hot hell. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Matthew chapter 25. I think it's Matthew chapter 25. No, Matthew 5. I'm sorry. Look at let's see here. I am totally... I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 7. Whew. My brain, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. I knew where it was. My brain is just preaching and it's not thinking right now. Sorry. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, salvation. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, preached in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Going to be a bunch of robe-wearing, sissy-breeches pastors at the Great White Throne Judgment. They're going to wake up in hell and go to the Great White Throne Judgment and say, Lord, we did all these good things, we were sincere. And he's going to say, I never even knew who you were. You didn't preach the right gospel. You're not one of my children. Depart from me into everlasting fire. Anybody that will stand and say, well, you get saved by keeping the laws. And you get saved by doing good things. And you get saved by going to a telephone booth and tell the priest all the bad things you did and pay him enough money for each one of your sins. And you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this. Those preachers will suffer a hotter hell than just the average drunk on the street. I was out soul winning one day, and a priest came to the door. You talk about something that God was having fun with. That was it. When a guy comes at the door with his collar on backwards, something's not right. I told him who I was, and he said, sir, I'm a Catholic priest. I said, that's all right.
Congratulations.
I almost said I'm sorry, but I didn't. I wanted to say, wish you were a real man of God, but I didn't. Because I'm not sure he was a man, and no, he wasn't of God. And I said, sir, let me ask you a question. When you stand before your congregation, how do you tell people that they can know for sure they're going to heaven? For the next 3 or 4 minutes, he stuttered and stammered.
well, they got to be part of the church, and they got to go through catechism, and they got to do this, and they got to do this, and nobody's ever really sure, and that's why there's a place called purgatory, and people around them, people that love them, can help pay, get them out, and nobody's really even sure. There's no way to know that for sure. I said, you're a heretic.
And he looked at me. I turned to 1 John chapter 5. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I said, if there's no way to know that for sure, then God's a liar just like you are. I said, and sir, I feel sorry for you. If you don't trust Christ as your Savior and get saved, you are sending people to hell, and your hell will be hotter than most, because you are deceiving people thinking into they're going to heaven by this mess. And I took him here to Matthew chapter 7 and showed him. He did not get saved. But he sure was trembling that day. You see, not only is there a real place called hell, Jesus suffered our hell. And number three, Jesus unlocked the gate.
Amen.
And it's our job to pull people and keep people from going to hell. Jesus didn't just unlock the gate. He showed us how to keep people out of hell. He showed us how to snatch them from the fire.
Right.
Say, how do you do it? Well, the Bible says they went house to house. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. He said that we are to get the gospel to Mark 16:15, every creature. That means we are to take the gospel to every person personally. I'm to talk to that person, and 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 especially that person, and that person. And I am to talk to every person and make sure that they know what the gospel is. He didn't say, I am accountable for them going to heaven. He said, it's my job to get the truth to every creature. I'm for giving a gospel tract. It's got the truth on it if you got the right gospel tract. Don't use a chick tract.
Amen.
God didn't make chick tracts. Chick tracts have bad doctrine in them. They teach works. Anybody tells you you have to make him Lord of your life, goes back to Matthew chapter 7. Lord, Lord, have we not cast? Lordship salvation is works salvation. He already is Lord. You don't have to make him Lord of your life. He has to be Savior before he can be Lord. You can't make him Lord before he becomes your Savior. And you can't make him Lord to become your Savior. He has to be Savior so that he can be your Lord. Everybody doing okay? So anything that says you have to make him your Lord and Savior, wrong. Oh, you have to turn from all your sin. Well, you're going to die and go to hell because you can't turn from it all, because after you get saved, you're going to sin again.
That's right.
Well, you have to show enough sorrow. Show me anywhere in that book where it says how much sorrow there's supposed to be.
That's right.
Where's the sorrow meter at? It's not in there. Thief on the cross didn't show much. He said, Lord, save me. Jesus said, and by the way, he didn't even get baptized. Because
right.
He died that day.
Amen.
He couldn't get off the cross, and they didn't come up and sprinkle water on his head and call him baptized.
Amen.
The word baptize means to immerse, to bury. You can't bury with a sprinkle. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Say, well, what's God's method to tell everybody? Knock on the door and tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
When you're at the gas station, you talk to the person across the pump from you. Old Carl Hatch, one of the best soul winners I ever met in my whole life. How many of you knew who Carl Hatch was? Carl Hatch was a crazy man. He's about like Brother Mike. Not real big, but just not all the... he didn't have a screw loose. He had a screw gone. Amen? It just wasn't quite all there. And Carl Hatch was one of the most bold. He was a former drunk.
and got saved, and he went. He turned everything against the devil that he was going for the devil. Carl Hatch, I've been on platforms with him, and you better make sure you got gospel tracts and the Soul Winner's New Testament on you if you're sitting on the platform. Because in the middle of his sermon, he'd say, "You got a gospel tract?" And if you didn't, man, you got preached at one-on-one on the platform. Carl Hatch would go into the washroom at the airports or the truck stops. He'd pass out tracts under the stalls. Reading material, stick it underneath. Guy was crazy. That man had more people saved than most people ever think of having saved. You say, why? Because he decided he was going to tell everybody the gospel. I watched in one service, in one church, over 100 people walk an aisle for salvation after Carl Hatch preached. I think 105, 106, something like that. One of the last sermons he ever preached in his whole life. You say, what else should we do? We ought to preach the gospel. I'm so tired of sissy britches preachers who got lace on their underwear afraid to give the gospel. Give the gospel at church. Give the gospel at weddings. Amen. Give the gospel at funerals. I've had to share funerals from time to time with other clergy.
Clergy. That's what we'll call
it. Yeah. And I was with one day and I said, are you going to give the gospel? He said, well, kind of, but I'm going to kind of make it coded. I said, are you going to give an invitation? Oh, I'd never do that at a funeral. I said, good, I will. That same man got up and talked for about 15, 20 minutes. My wife was sitting right next to me. The man used curse words throughout about half of it, including the F word.
Whoa.
I am not lying. Cross my heart and hope Brother Scott dies. now, wait a minute. That is the truth. I thought, well, I'm glad he didn't give an invitation because nobody want what he's got. People squirming and wiggling all over the place. The guy that died, I want him to Christ. I got up about 10 minutes. I gave the gospel. I asked everybody to bow their head and close their eyes. The head of Orgill Trucking, Wiley, was there. I think 32 people got saved at the funeral, including the guy's pregnant sister in another state on Skype on a computer screen. You say, weren't you afraid to give the gospel? No, I was afraid not to give the gospel. That other fellow would have sent all those people to hell. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, you're just awful bold and awful brash, aren't you? Hey, I'm trying to keep somebody out of hell. I'd be bold and brash if I drive by a house today that's on fire trying to help get somebody out. I wouldn't be quiet saying, well, maybe we'll just have a little talk with Jesus and we'll say, if you want to get out, come on out, y'all. God have mercy. I think you ought to preach the gospel at church. I think you ought to preach it at funerals, preach it at weddings. I've had people saved at weddings. By the way, it's the message that's the issue, not the deliverer of the message.
Amen.
You know, God didn't say you had to have everything memorized and know everything just right and say everything just right for somebody to get saved. You know, you don't have to be this polished soul winner. You're just supposed to go out and get the gospel out. You come with us. We'll teach you how to do it. And I'm not going to send you to the dogs right away. Trust me.
Man is not to try his own easier and more popular ways to get the gospel out.
Now I'm going to pull up and park for a second. Since I broke my promise of noon. We're not supposed to take surveys to get the gospel out.
Amen.
We're not supposed to use e-tracts. We don't have an e-tract on our website. We're not supposed to use comics to get their attention. We're not supposed to have drama, and in the drama, it will present the gospel coded, but they could understand it. Well, we may have drama someday, but they're going to have Baptist preacher get up and preach afterwards.
Amen.
We might have a choir someday that has a cantata and musicals, but may I say something? Music's never going to replace preaching.
Amen.
If we ever have a music-type presentation, we're having preaching, too.
Amen.
It is not music that saves. It is preaching that saves.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? We're not going to have a coffee shop ministry and have everybody come spend their money, make money for the church, and then we'll have a little talk with Jesus while they suck their latte.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
See, what's gonna get the gospel out? Just an old-fashioned soul-winning, boot-leathered, knuckle-busting, door-to-door spreading the gospel is what gets the gospel out.
Amen.
I got to quit. It is every Christian's responsibility to go soul winning.
Yes,
may I say something? It's not just my responsibility as the preacher. God gave that to every saved person. I don't care if you got saved yesterday. It's your responsibility to tell people about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're to get the gospel. Well, I don't know what to do. Then bring him to church. Bring him to somebody that knows how to tell him and say, tell him what you told me.
Amen.
It's all of our jobs, not just a few. Every Sunday school teacher, every Sunday school helper, every nursery worker, every board member, every choir member, every person in this church, we are to get the gospel out to every creature.
Amen.
An old basket full of tracks right there behind Bob's head. Grab some on your way out. Give them to people this week. It is our job. I'm not saying you have to be here at 6:30 Tuesday night, 10 o'clock Saturday morning. You can, you know, people can get saved at other times too. But it is our job to get the gospel to every creature. I think Miss Kathy, she sends a gospel track in every bill that she pays.
Amen.
I mean, she takes 300 of them every week. did I say that right, Brother Harry? Did I do good? All right, I thought I got that clear with you. You know, say, we don't have any idea, but at least the gospel's going out. Hell is still hot, and it's not going to cool off ever. But can I tell you something? Jesus unlocked the gate.
Right.
We don't have to worry about breaking the gate down. It's unlocked. Just push it. Let's get the gospel out and pull people out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Hell is real. Jesus paid it for us. How about we take that glorious message and tell it to every creature? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who would say, preacher, and be honest with yourself. Don't just say something to say something. Don't just respond to respond, but truly in your heart. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, today, if I died, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I personally needed today. I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Maybe it's about soul winning. Maybe it's about telling somebody. Maybe it's a family member. Picture those family members dying and going to hell because we didn't tell them.